Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to look at, we want to look a little at some stuff just on terms of standing on the word in tribulation and we're in the world here. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 24. Verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I love the, you guys, you know the little kid's song, right? I love the rain came down, the floods came up, you know, washed it out. This is a good, there's a good song that goes along with this. But it's a, this is a great, great illustration of the difference between someone who's, who builds their house, or in this case, it's representative of your life, the things of your life, upon a rock versus the sand, right? And, you know, I don't want to overspeak this parable, but Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone, right? He is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. He is the rock that we build our life upon. He is the foundation, and we're going to see that in the scriptures as we go. Who here has Jesus Christ as their foundation? Right? You can all confidently raise your hand, right? Because you've confessed him as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. So that's good. So we got a good start, right? We got the only start. The only thing that's worth anything. Your house is built. You started on the foundation, which is Christ. Okay? And what I love about this thing, too, is it's the illustration here has both guys, and both of them are dealing with rain and floods, right? But one person's house stands, the other one doesn't. So we're in this world. We have an adversary. It's called the present evil age. There's things that happen here that are not the will of God. And thank God they're not the will of God, right? Because if they were, we would have some questions to ask. But they're not the will of God. And yet, in the midst of this world, our house is built upon a rock. And his name is Jesus Christ. So let's look further in. I want to go to Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. These are encouraging scriptures. And you guys are all familiar with this section, so I'm just going to look at verse 57. Start there. And I love this. This is one of those big buts in the scripture. Verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," and we could be saying that to each other. Paul, you know, by way of the Spirit of God, is saying that to you. "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amazing. I'll tell you what, it calls it labor. You know, what the world has to deal with is no picnic on its own, because they don't have a Lord. They don't have a God to rely on. Wouldn't want to be in their shoes. But it can be labor at times to stand on God's word in this world, right? As much joy as there is, and peace and strength coming from a relationship you have with God Almighty, that there's some labor there in standing in a world, a present evil age, you know, where everything around us is screaming everything opposite of what it is that we confess to believe. And yet it says, because there's thanks to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, for that reason, we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain. There's another verse that talks about him not being unrighteous to forget our labor of love, you know, which is pretty cool. God is not unrighteous to forget it. And you'll see as we go on, the motive that we have for living for our God is not the rewards that come. That's not set up as the motive from God. The motive is love, which is pretty awesome. It's his love for you. But he's also not unrighteous to forget, you know. So the things, you know, when we go through trial, we go through temptation, the things of earth, you know, that try to creep in. And sometimes for us here, you know, we have first world problems, as they call them, you know, which are not always someone knocking on our door to kill us and steal our homes and our people that we love. And, you know, we don't often deal with that kind of stuff so much as other things, you know, that might come in the form of, you know, that great job that we think is going to be the answer to all our problems, and that relationship that we thought was right. And, you know, all this stuff that just creeps in to try and squeeze the life out of the word that's living in your life. And as we stand through those things, God is not unrighteous to forget, which is pretty awesome. Really awesome. Okay, I wanted to go to Timothy. I'm going the wrong direction. Oh, you know what? Before we go to Timothy, can you guys go back to Corinthians? There was a verse that I missed. I'm sure you can. We'll go there. First Corinthians. And it's chapter 4, I believe. Chapter 3, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we saw, you know, the Lord says, he that hears my words, hears the words I say, and does them, will be like a man who built his house upon a rock. We saw that God's not unrighteous to forget. We saw that we're to, because we have the victory in Christ, were to stand and just to stay in this thing, you know, to the end. In chapter 3, let's start in verse 10. Actually, let's start with verse 9. I like verse 9. It says here, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." And what's that foundation?
Christ.
Jesus Christ, right? Awesome. "I have laid the foundation, and let another build thereon. But let every man," everyone, woman, man, every person, "take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And this is a key thing. This is one of the things I've been looking at in the scriptures too, is the importance of what God teaches of doctrine concerning the gospel, and the importance of not swaying from that, because the foundation for what is to be believed has been laid out for us in the scriptures, you know. And Paul received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He was taught it by the Lord himself, and he's laid it out for us, that foundation. He says the wise master builder has laid the foundation, then that's Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that we believe, right? Boy, and God, like, is really concerned about that foundation remaining exactly what it is that he said. You know, you see that all through the scripture. If the foundation changes for people, you know, if something else is preached and someone believes on that, is that the foundation that God's talking about?
No.
It's just not, right? So it's got to start with the foundation, which is the gospel, you know. That's where it starts. And that's where that's the only place we're going to build anything worth building on. Verse 11 says, For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, which foundation?
Christ.
Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be very clear. For the day will declare it. It'll show it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And gosh, this is not so much of a fearful day. I just think of how gracious God is when I read this section. Because this is talking about that which men build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? So we've heard the word, we've believed it, we have the foundation. And now it's talking about that labor for or in the Lord that we looked at in Corinthians, that which we do in our life. And we have only one foundation to build upon, and as we build on that, you know, in here in the representation, it gives six options, you know, gold, what is it, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, you know. Three are flammable, three are not flammable, okay? It becomes very clear, right? So, every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be clear, for the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides or remains, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's pretty amazing. Can you believe that? That God himself, here's the thing, by grace, he gives you the foundation by grace. And then whatever you build upon there, that is Christ, that's worth building, that will remain, is built by grace, because he's the one working in you, and the only way you're doing that is by the Spirit of God, right? And at the end, he rewards you for the stuff that remains, and the stuff where you were walking by the flesh, the moments that you're not proud of, are burnt away. And they're gone. Isn't that the best way? I don't even want my works that were not by the Spirit to remain when it's all over. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is God's grace in abundance. So, you know, we're coming in. We've been ushered into the presence of God. Our life's put there. Boom, get rid of all the stuff that you didn't build on Christ. And what's left? Christ. And you're rewarded for anything that when you walk by the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. So in eternity, you're not going to be looking back and saying, gosh, I wish, you know, I still got this hanging on my back that I did by the flesh, and this hanging on my back that I did by the flesh. You know. No, sir, it's going to be burnt. Verse 14, let's read again. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Okay? You lost that time. You lost what, you know, those things that you built that weren't Christ. You lose that. Okay? And you could look at it like, oh, that's kind of a shame. Like, I wouldn't want lost time. Well, exactly. That's what we're looking at here. It's encouraging. It says, why would I want to build those kind of things in my life knowing that they're just going to be burnt and gone, right? But it's also very gracious of God to burn them and get rid of them, because they're not Christ, so they don't stand. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Isn't that cool? And it goes on, the Spirit of God dwells in us. We have a very, very good and gracious God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's the amazing thing about righteousness. I think I've shared this with you guys before, but, you know, like, Greg and I learn a lot of things when we go to the house a lot of times, and Steve and some of the other guys that have been there, and it's just, we've been preaching for years there, about years, 2 years there, that you can't earn God's grace. You can't earn it. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn salvation. And they seem to get that, that you can't earn it. But what we found is that what they think is now that they have it, they owe God something to keep it. Or they owe him something because they have salvation. And it's a wonderful thing. And I understand that. I understand that desire in the flesh where you've been given... Have you ever been given a huge gift from someone? And you feel like you now owe them? Right? It's kind of the way the world thinks. It's the way we're developed to think in this world. Like, someone gives you something, you're, oh gosh, now I got to give them a birthday gift or whatever it was. You know, but this is not the way of the Word. That's the way of the world. You know? And so God has given us salvation through Christ. It's by grace, and we've earned it, or we haven't earned it. What am I saying? We haven't earned it. We've been given it by grace, and we also don't owe God anything. Okay? But look at the motivation here. This is cool. Verse 14 of chapter 5 says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, or not from now on, live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Isn't that cool? It's the love of Christ that constrains us. It's that love that God so loved us. Beloved, you know, it's not, love isn't that we've loved him, but that God loved us and gave his only begotten son for us. That's the standard of love, right? And that's to be the motive of living for him. Understanding his love and then living for him. And as we walk in love, in obedience to his word, we are building upon the foundation, which is Christ. And the things in our life will stand in that day. That's encouraging. I think about Corinthians 13. You guys are familiar with Corinthians 13, and it goes through, right? All these amazing things. Speaking with the tongues of men and of angels. You know, giving yourself to be burned, you know, as is one of the things mentioned in there. Though I have all believing that I could remove mountains and have not love, it profits me nothing, you know? And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? The motive behind this stuff is to be love. It's to be love. And that comes from God loving me. And I understand that he loves me. That's, you know, walking in his love. And then walking in love towards you is going to be easy when I'm walking in light of his love. All right, go to Timothy. So again, we're talking about building on that foundation. God's not unrighteous to forget our labor of love, right? Because we have the victory in Jesus Christ, our labor is not in vain. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians, right? Or 1 Corinthians. Our motivation, because he loved us, we're compelled or constrained by his love. I love this. This is cool. This is to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Did I say 2 Timothy? Timothy? Chapter 2. This is cool. Verse 3. And I understand this is to a young leader, but all of you are leaders in a capacity. You all have the Spirit of God. And you're all going to find yourselves in positions of leadership at some point in your life. Even if it's just leading someone to Christ on the street or grocery store, you know. So there's some good applicable stuff here. Verse 3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And these are three little examples, or almost like parables. I don't know if you call them that. But verse 4, it says, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Isn't that cool? "And if a man also strive for masteries," or if he's going for the gold, "yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that labors must first partake of the fruits, be a partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Those three are pretty neat to remember, you know. He that wars, you're in a war. He that wars doesn't entangle himself with this life. He follows the commander of his army to be effective, right? If a man is going to go after the gold medal, he's only going to get crowned at the end if he does it according to the rule book, right? If we do it according to the Word of God that's teaching us, right? Husband that labors must first partake of the fruits. We first got to have it in us, you know. And that's where the Word of God comes into play big time, you know. Is you know, that manifestation is just to have it in our hearts and our minds continually, you know. Where we're going and the Word is there, you know. We're partaking of that fruit. and then we can stand. And it goes on, it says, "Consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying," or it's a faithful word, "for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Pretty awesome. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him," it says. "If we deny him, he will also deny us." But you guys have not denied him, by the way, because we've confessed him. Verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers." Verse 15, "Study," or strive, with diligence. "Speedily" is the word. It's kind of neat. Spoudazo, speedily, with diligence. "To show yourself approved," or dokimos is that word, "unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What did our Lord say back in Matthew 7? It was, you know, hears these things and then does them, right? And it's got to be the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ, which has been laid, which is in the Word. And we're encouraged here. I love this because we're encouraged to study, or to be diligent, you know, diligent with the sense of speeding to do it, you know, to go after it, to show ourselves workmen approved, or dokimos, unto who? God, right? Not other men, not even unto myself. This thing's done before God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth, that gospel. Pretty awesome. All right, one more place I want to go, and we'll finish out there. In Peter, 2 Peter. And we'll start in chapter 1. And this is cool. It says, let's start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us. And it says here, to glory and virtue, but the word to is the word dia. It means through the channel of, or through, in this case, it would be like through his glory and virtue and excellence. Whereby, or by his glory and excellence, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Boy, isn't that neat. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, this is you guys. You are partakers of the divine nature. You have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's pretty amazing. This is a reality of who you are, because you've been given that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through God's glory and virtue. And besides this, look at this, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. So you're there. You're ones who have escaped the corruption, right? You're partakers of that divine nature, right? That's who you are. It's talking to you. And it says, besides this, give all diligence, add to your believing virtue. And to virtue knowledge. And it goes on. We're going to read it and I'll come back to it and kind of break it down a little. With all diligence, add to your believing virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's... we all are here because we don't want to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I right? You know, John talks about abiding in him, you know, because he's the vine and we're the branches. We want to bear fruit. Verse 9 says, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Maybe has lost sight of the hope there, huh? And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brothers, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's pretty cool. This is the word of God to us. And we're going to read. Let me break this down real quick for you, so you understand what each of these things is. And it says, besides this, giving all diligence. I think that word diligence is the same one that's used in Timothy 2:15. It's that spoudazo. It's that diligent
study,
you know? Study, or to go after it. Add to your believing that virtue. And I grab my notes here real quick, because I have it written down. It's like excellence. It's a word for excellence in what we're doing, okay? And it's got some push behind it. It's excellence. And to that excellence, knowledge. Knowledge, I would suppose, of the Word of God and the Gospel, right? Which is what the Word is always talking about. And to knowledge, temperance. That would be self-control, you know? So, who's in charge? Is Christ in me or flesh? You know, the lust of the flesh. You know, well, Christ in you, man, it's got the authority. So, that's who we are now. So, we can, by the grace of God, we can be temperate according to the Word of God, where we control ourselves to stand on the Word of God, to choose that over what the world has to offer. Pretty cool. And to that temperance or self-control, patience. Hey, and God is a God of patience. It's okay, don't worry. She can roll. To patience, godliness. Now, godliness is pretty cool word. It's akin to like piousness. I know that's almost like a dirty word in our culture, like, oh, he's all pious, you know, like it makes you pompous and somehow better than everyone else. But it's not. It's not that. Look at it this way. God has set us apart to himself, right? He set us apart. We are holy. We have been sanctified. What does it say in here? It says you're partakers of the divine nature, of God's divine nature, and you've escaped the corruption that's in the world. Doesn't it make sense that then your life would look like one who doesn't partake in the corruption of the world, right? Which is going to look pretty darn pious, you know? And it's in relationship with God. It's in that relationship with God, but we are set apart. So let's live that way, right? Pretty awesome. And to that godliness, brotherly kindness. That's that fraternal kindness. That's Philadelphia love. That's what we have here when we get together. We just love each other. We enjoy hanging out with one another. It's brotherly love. And to that brotherly kindness, charity, which is the love of God. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just love these kind of things. We can't pass that up. That boy, I want to be that guy. I don't want to be barren or unfruitful, so I could take heed to this word. And here's my answer. This is how we do it. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten those that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered. And that word ministered is the same word that is translated add up at the top. So just like you're adding to your believing virtue and adding to your virtue knowledge and adding to your knowledge self-control, to that self-control, that piousness or that godliness, and that godliness, brotherly kindness, and adding to the brotherly kindness, love, so an entrance will be ministered or added unto you. And it's a glorious entrance shall be added unto you. Unto you abundantly. See that? It shall be added unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what all that entails and means, I don't know. But the word talks about, you know, talks about a crown, you know, to those who love is appearing. And it talks about different things like that. It talks about a life which has been built on that foundation, and a man or woman who's built Christ in their life, and that thing stands at the end, you know, and that God's not unrighteous to forget, you know. So, you know, as we live, we continue to build the Word in our life in reverence to our Lord, in reverence to our God, and in relationship with Him, and we build upon that foundation. And this is the kind of stuff it says it'll be added to us, this abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. It's pretty awesome, right? So that's what I want to share. It's just worth standing. You know, it's no surprise. Should come as no surprise that we go through stuff, that we have tribulations. You know, it really should come as no surprise. You know, sometimes it's obviously bad stuff. Sometimes it's just an abundance of good stuff, too. It can be that. It's you know, sometimes I think to myself, man, like, when's the tribulation going to come? And then I realize I've just spent a lot of my time in my life doing a lot of other things that are good, but has taken my mind away from the things that are truly good. And what do you think that is? It's tribulation. It's the same stuff. It just looks different than what you might think, you know. And it's worth it. That excellence. I think about that excellence because we have the desire. I mean, people in general, you have a desire to be good at something, right? You want to make your mark in the world. Everyone does. You see the world doing it and rising up in ranks in different places. That, you know, that love of power that they have, and that's different motive for sure. But we can be excellent at pursuing God, we can be excellent at going to His Word to allow that to live in our life. You know, we can put our time into that to strive for that. Why not? You know, it's the only thing that'll stand in the end. And I think it, somewhere it says it's the only thing that has promise of both this life and that which is to come. You know, because there's such great things that come even in this life for standing on the Word. So, yeah, I love you guys.
You too.